All right, we're looking at the kingdom of God. We've stopped right in the middle of Mark, the fourth chapter. We talked about the parable of the sower and then the parable of progression. But I want us to look at the parable of the mustard seed. And looking at Mark 4:30, it says, "And he said," this is talking about Jesus, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it?" You get the first part right. What can we compare the kingdom of God to? So he's talking about the kingdom of God, right? "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that are in the earth." So the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the kingdoms when it's sown in earth. It's the smallest of all of them. When it's sown into you. We'll talk about this a little later. "It grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out grape branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Now that's a key line right there. The fowls of the air lodge under the branches thereof. Okay? So, these three parables we said are talking about the kingdom of God. How the invitation goes out, the word goes out, the seed goes out, and each individual heart, depending upon the condition of that heart, responds differently. They can either respond positively or negatively to the word of God. Then those who respond favorably, and that word comes into good soil, that word, that seed, that word of God, begins to grow and produce. So it starts progressively, the blade, the ear, the corn, okay? And then in this mustard seed, he's saying the same thing. It's the smallest of all the seed. Now, we're talking about a kingdom. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but your life is ruled by kingdoms. There are many kingdoms that dominate you. For instance, economics is a kingdom that dominates people's lives. Education is a kingdom that dominates people's lives. Religion is a kingdom that dominates people's lives. We can go on with sports. We can go with recreation. I mean, you can get family. You can just keep on and on and on. A kingdom is something that rules you, something that's in control of you. Okay? And so there's all types of things in our lives. I'll give you a good example with me personally. I was absolutely consumed with racing. Okay? And, I mean, that was my passion. That was my passion since I was a kid. And that was my pursuit. But when I got born again, And started learning things about the Word of God. And you understand I said started because I used to lay out a church to watch the race. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, there for a while I raced motorcycles. Instead of going to church on Sundays, he raced motorcycles on Sunday. And so that's what we did. So that I was dominated by that. Strong obsession, you understand. Not understanding it was demonic, okay, just the fact that it was in such control of me. But the closer I started getting to God, the more hungry I got for the Word of God. This was over a period of years, you understand. And then when I started giving God more time, God was giving me time. Not that it wasn't before, but I was starting to recognize it. And then I actually got as passionate for the Word of God as I had been about racing. And I didn't leave racing, it left me. This kingdom of God, this seed started growing, and it grew beyond this other kingdom. So it takes over that kingdom that had dominated my life, not by force, you understand, but by my desire to know the Lord, my desire for him was greater than my desire had been for Rayson in the past. And so now, Rayson doesn't affect me at all. But the Word of God does. And I am passionate about the Word of God. That's just a simple thing. But some people, it's work. Work becomes their God. That's the kingdom that's driving them. Work's a good thing. We're supposed to work. But work's not to be the God. And we're not to work for greed, because you can't get enough. You can't get enough money. You can't get enough toys. You can't get enough possessions. It'll never satisfy you. But the thing about God is you're satisfied to the point that you're wanting more of that satisfaction. That's the only way I know how to say it. Not that it's driving you, it's desire, such a passion for the things of God. That's how God's kingdom starts growing in a person's life. When you hear the gospel, it goes in as the smallest thing in your life. But if you start paying attention to that and you start nurturing that seed, you start watering that seed begins to grow, and the more you care for it, the bigger it gets, to where it says with this mustard seed that becomes the largest of the herbs of the garden. In other words, God's kingdom is greater than any other kingdom in your heart. God's kingdom has taken over your heart. Why? By your desire. Your passion for God. But then he puts an interesting thing in here. And I had to get a revelation of this, all right? It says that the fowl of the air lodge under the branches. Now, I go back to Mark, the fourth chapter, and the interpretation of that parable. He tells me that the fowl's the devil. How will you understand other parables if you don't understand this parable? So you apply, you look at that parable and you start learning things from that parable, and you see that where Satan, if he can't steal the seed, he'll try to get the fruit. He's under there where the fruit's being produced, you understand. And so he's persistent. That's why we have to keep our attention on spiritual things. We have to keep our mind on the Lord. And this is what you have to consciously do. Because it doesn't take but a second for the flesh to say something that it shouldn't have said or do something that it shouldn't have done. And we have to stay on top of these things, okay? But God is wanting His kingdom to rule our lives, not as a tyrannical dictator, you understand, but He wants to rule our lives because He will do what's in our best interest. If the Word of God tells you a certain thing, instructs you a certain way, or the Holy Spirit instructs you or leads you a certain way, it's your best interest. It's always in our best interest. There are many kingdoms operating in the world today, and people don't even know their kingdoms. People don't even know what's controlling their life. And the bottom line is there's two major kingdoms. Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light, obviously, is God. Kingdom of darkness is going to be all the world kingdoms that Satan influences, okay? And so those are the two kingdoms that we're dealing with. Any other kingdom subservient to these two kingdoms, these two major kingdoms. So the kingdom of light is ruled by Jesus, right? Actually, there's so much that could be said about this, but I go back to creation, when God created the heaven and earth and all that, and then, you know, later on God created two lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Obviously, sun and moon. Right? And so there's lessons to be learned out of this. God's kingdom is going to rule the light. We're called children of the day. Right? So then God's kingdom is to rule the body of Christ. You with me? God is wanting to rule the body of Christ, the born-again believers. Then, when the born-again believers subject themselves to the light of God, to the kingdom of God, to the dominion of God, they begin reflecting God in the dark world. I was standing out years ago. I was standing out one night. I just walked outside during the summer and just standing there talking to the Lord and looking up. It was a beautiful night. I mean, all the sky was just scattered, you understand, with all these lights, full moon. And I was standing there looking at all that, and I really was captivated by the moon, how bright it was, but yet it had dark spots. And I started talking to the Lord about that. I said, that's amazing. He said, that's humanity. That's the body of Christ. That's you. Even though there's a light there, that light that's been reflected, you can still see areas in it. That's why in this body I'm not acceptable to God. My spirit's acceptable, but my flesh isn't. Pretty incredible, really, when you think about it. And how God uses us. But God wants to rule me. He wants to rule the born-again believers. And the church is saying, no, we want you to rule the world, but you let us do our thing. And it's not going to be that way, because it's a voluntary rule. The God's kingdom is where you invite that kingdom in. Lord, I want to be led by the Spirit. Lord, I want to know your word. And then it's prove me. Do you? Did read the Bible, study the Bible, listen to the Spirit. That tells me what your passion is. What do I give my attention to? That's where my passion is. And that's why we've started backing off, and things that I used to do, I don't do. Because not because they were just gross sins, but because they were taking time away from God and getting me to think on the wrong thing. Now, my wife today still doesn't understand me, you know, but but by conviction, I cannot watch any movie, any secular movie. I can't do that. I'm number one. I'm a concentrator, and so when I do that, I'll be thinking about that days ahead. And I had the Lord to tell me. I was telling him, I want to draw nearer to you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And he said, you will not draw nearer to me subjecting yourself to things of the world. It doesn't matter how good they are. It's not God. Well, I can glean a godly principle out of it. Well, I can go to a house of ill repute and glean godly principles out of the thing, even though it's as filthy as it can be. You can get principles out of everything, because God's designed this world after heavenly spiritual principles, you understand. But people pervert things. No, do I really want to draw near to God? Then I have to get tunnel vision. Not looking here, not looking here. Sarah said, you want to watch this movie with me? I said, you know good and well that I don't watch movies. I'm not going to watch that TV. I can't do that and obey God and draw near to God. I'm not going to do it. Now, I'm not imposing my conviction on you. I just know how the Lord has revealed some things to me, and I have seen the change since I've started doing that of hearing the Lord. Instead of hearing all this other stuff. Now, the amazing part about that is I subjected myself to all that so many years, But I can still give you the lyrics of secular songs. I can still tell you characters in the cowboy movies and all this other stuff. And isn't it interesting how we subject ourselves to the things that God hates, the violence, and you know, the things I used to watch, you know, good guy, bad guy, shoot him, hang him. You know what? You get caught up in this thing. You don't even realize. You think because that's the bad guy that the good guy shoots him and that's going to make it all right. But that's not the way God works. I'm glad God didn't shoot me. You understand? He kept dealing with me. He kept dealing with me. And he kept dealing with me. This is more profound than you realize. But it's not necessarily what people want to hear, because what it starts doing is confronting the flesh. And flesh does not like to be confronted, because flesh likes what it likes. Don't tell me I can't have more ice cream. You understand? Okay. All right. So, the kingdom of darkness is ultimately, we can trace that back to Satan. But I'm going to tell you something, contrary to what people think, it's not that Satan has a kingdom. Look at Matthew 12:26. Oh, pardon me, Satan does have a kingdom. I says he doesn't. Satan does have a kingdom. Even though he's been defeated, he still has a kingdom. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26, it says, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, then how shall his kingdom stand? So he has a kingdom. And the way he operates is to get people into his kingdom is through all types of deception and enticements. It's not by invitation. Look, I'm going to invite you to come and just indulge in all the alcohol you want, get drunk as a skunk, and die of cirrhosis of the liver. That's not the way it works. No, he's going to tell you all the beauty of all these things. You understand? Through the enticements and through the deception and all that. And the Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord says, come be my disciple. Well, what does it cost me? Everything you have, including your life. So Satan's not going to tell you that. But the Lord will. His light where everything's exposed. Darkness to where everything's covered up. Have you ever noticed that the kingdoms of the world have dark lights? How many nightclubs are operating with these brilliant LED lights? No, you walk into these dim, dark, smoky places. I hope you're not walking into them, but you know what I'm talking about. Darkness wants to cover its dark deeds, and darkness does not want to get around light, because light will expose the evil deeds. Not that you're attacking anybody, but it's interesting that people who are guilty, you understand, when they get into the light, that guilt starts rising up. I remember back many years ago, I was in another state to do a funeral. And it didn't work out like we thought and all this. Anyway, that was an experience that I will never forget. But I ended up going to this person's house with a member of the family, and we were in there, and the woman of the house, I found out later on the bar, but she was a pretty trash mouth and just talking and talking and talking, and finally the guy, now I'm there to preach a funeral, you understand? And this guy says to her, he said, watch your mouth, he's a preacher. And she came over, she said, I didn't know you was a preacher, I'm sorry. I said, don't let me cramp your style. If God doesn't care, I don't. Well, I never heard any more out of that. Do you understand? No, get your attention on God. You know, don't do what you or abstain from it because you're in my presence. You're in the presence of God. Guilt. Did I make you guilty, or did light expose the darkness? Did the light bring that guilt to the surface? You understand? And I hadn't said a word. I hadn't said a word. But people would get around you, and you know, I had someone to tell me, it hadn't been all that long ago, I'm not comfortable around you. Well, good. I hope the devil's not comfortable around me. You understand? But get uncomfortable enough that you'll reach out and get help. Because we're not there to hurt you. The uncomfortableness is your heart condemning you. That's your uncomfortableness. I've been there. I used to walk out the basement door to keep from having to go by the pastor because I had sin in my life and I was afraid God was going to tell on me. I know what it's like. I've been on the other side of that. You understand? And the pastor didn't know anything. You understand? He didn't know anything. It was my heart condemning me. He's never said anything bad about it. He was always good to me. But my heart condemned me. And he was a representative of the light, and I didn't want the light shining because I was going to get exposed. And if you be honest, you know what I'm talking about. And probably know that by experience. But I want you to think about this. I've talked about these kingdoms of the world. Philosophy is a big deal in the world now. Everybody's wanting to have a philosophical approach, and you know, our wisdom is greater than God's knowledge, is the mindset of that philosophy. And economics is controlling many people's lives. And I mentioned education, religion, sport, recreation. All these kingdoms are either directly or indirectly under the rule of Satan. And the thing about it is you have good people in these systems and they do not know who their boss is. They don't know who's controlling their life because it's done so subtle. Just like with Eve in the garden. That serpent didn't say, "Worship me." You know what he said? "Look at you. Look at you. You could be like God." You understand that's how he works? He wants the flesh to start ruling the life of an individual. And so he didn't say, "Worship me." What he basically says, "Worship yourself. That'll take care of God." And that's what happens when flesh comes to the forefront. The kingdom of darkness is influencing the flesh, so the kingdom of God's not ruling in an individual's life. So all these kingdoms, the philosophy's reason, the economics is greed, and the education we mentioned, that's just knowledge. Have you ever seen the billboard? No education, no future. Now, stay with me. This is a college. Okay? So stay with me, all right? This nation was not founded on education. As a matter of fact, what made this nation great and come to its prime was people with a work ethic and common sense. Not philosophy, not reason, all this other stuff. It was people that used the gifts that God had put on the inside of them for the good of the nation, not for selfish gain. Those people are hard to find today. They're hard to find in churches because most people have an ulterior motive. Well, I'm going to say it. That's just rising up, so I'm going to just say it. it would surprise you how many preachers preach or how many teachers teach because of the thrill it gives them. They're not doing it for God. They're doing it because it's exhilarating. Crowds turn them on. Now we're talking about not God ruling. That's a fleshly thing. That should never be a motivating factor. I need to be seen. No, you don't. God needs to be seen. Just thought I'd insert that in at that particular stage. Tradition. Boy, that's the God of religion. You know, if you don't follow our tradition, we worship in tradition. That was the problem with Jesus. How is it you violating the tradition of the elders? We got to kill this man. Get him out of the way. And then the physical body. You know, there's so much attention put on the physical body. Driven by ego. Whether it's the God of the modeling world or the God of the sports world or the God of the Hollywood or whatever. You know, someone back not so long ago was feeling less than 100%, I suppose, and I had visited them and was talking to them, and they were starting to talk about, look at this body. I said, that's not you. I said, "Boy, that's not you. That's your house. You can look at that body and become depressed at the house you live in, or you can look at you and you can get exhilarated by who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, who God made you to be. And I can tell you right now, if you'll start looking at you and you start looking at who you are in Christ, you'll find that that house is suited for you to carry out your ministry. You understand? I'm going to tell you something a lot of people overlook about Jesus is found in Isaiah 53. He had no form nor comeliness, and there was no beauty that when we look at Him, we would desire Him. And people think, you know, I mean, look at the preachers today. We, you know, these $1,000 suits and all this type of stuff. Trying, you know, you have to have the right hairstyle and all this type thing, and your watches and all this stuff is trying to appeal to people by appearance, drive the right car, and all this. Is that how Jesus appealed to people? No, what I read about Him, He said He didn't even have a place to lay His head. In other words, I don't have a deed to any property on earth because earth's not my home. You with me? And as long as you're looking at that body, earth's your home, and you're trying to see what you have here and you're wanting to fit in to the society, let me ask you, what's the right height? What's the right weight? I can't find that in the Bible. You understand? What's the right diet? That's not in the Bible either. As a matter of fact, I can show you in the Bible that all things that God created are good and they're not to be refused if they're set apart by the sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. And so you can refute much of this teaching that's going on. Now, there's wisdom in all of it. You understand? I mean, you know, obviously you want to be able to function and do the things that God told you to do. And so you just don't sit around and be a couch potato and gorge like a pig and all that type of stuff. I mean, the common sense tells you that stuff. But the thing about trying to look 18 when you're 70 years old, that's pretty stupid. You with me? That's not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of the world. That's flesh talking to you. I believe if we follow the Spirit of God and do what God tells us to do, we don't violate the Spirit, we don't violate the Word, the house is going to be okay. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added. In other words, you set your attention on God, and God takes care of the house. You with me? Don't let that become a major source in your life that attracts too much attention. Pleasure. Know the God of the world. It's a kingdom. You understand? And it's all dealing with flesh. You know, I want to go here, go there. I bet we've all been there. You know, I used to love to go to the amusement park and ride all the rides and all that thing. And I wouldn't give you a dime for all of them. You understand? It's just a deception. I was thinking the other day just how stupid I've been. I mean, you know, you can't even write it down. Just the dumb things that you think you're having fun. And that's all it is a fix. It's just a little fix. It's just like drugs. You know, you get on a high, what's going to happen? You're going to come down. And then you're looking for another. And it's one thing after another. And this is what's driving the human society today, especially this younger generation. Looking for something. It's always dealing with flesh. Because we have failed to talk about the kingdom of God. The church has failed to allow the kingdom of God to rule in the church. The leaders of the church don't let God rule their own lives. And so you have a society out here today that doesn't know God or how God operates. And what they have heard about God is, for the most part, is not true anyway. And so we need some light out here to where people can really see the kingdom of God. Hurt, abuse also controls people's lives. Now, you think you're the victim. You were a victim at one time. But once you're out of it, if that's still bothering you, you're victimizing yourself. You with me? That hasn't made me popular in some counseling sessions either. You know, what happened to you when you were 9 years old, 12 years old? There's nothing you can do about that. I'm sorry it happened. But if that's still bothering you when you're 35 years old, then you are the abuser because you're doing it in your head. Let God set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free. Quit thinking about it. And it's amazing how people make millions of dollars talking about abusive lifestyles and all this other stuff. Forget the garbage. Get your mind on the kingdom of God. Let God rule your life. If God's ruling your life, anything that's happened like that in a negative way will be used in a positive way to help other people get delivered. Get out of the mess they're in. You know, when God's Word's sown into the heart of an individual, it's expected to grow. That's the purpose of a seed going into the ground. You expect that seed to produce fruit in an individual's life to the point that it starts taking over kingdoms. So I didn't even talk about habits. Habits are kingdoms. People get so convicted over habits, and they feel like that they have to stop this, they have to stop that, before God will accept them. Well, you catch your fish before you clean them, and the Spirit of God is what cleans the fish, you understand? And so you get born again, so you got born again with that habit, get so full of the Spirit of God, and so passionate for God, you get your mind on God, you forget about wanting to do that. You don't need some religious hierarchy telling you, you better get rid of those things and this, that, and the other. You can't be a part of the church with this, that, and the other. Thank God He comes in, small kingdom, and starts taking over things. You understand? And it's not to deprive you. It's to deliver you. Any kingdom God takes over is to get you delivered from something that's harmful to you. You follow me? Okay. God's looking out for our best interest. it's possible for God to rule one area of a person's life and not rule in other areas. You with me? How's that kingdom start? It starts small. So it may go up, it may grow and take over this particular kingdom. You know, it was like that in my life. For years, you know, I saw the kingdom of God grow, take over this and take over that. And at one time, I had a pretty bad temper. And the Lord had dealt with me, and we had that thing quit, I thought. Till I was on a mission trip, been preaching on the fruit of the Spirit, and then, you know, because the plane broke, we missed the flight, and they spent a night in a hotel in a suit with no facilities, and then missed my connecting flight and all that type of stuff. I'll tell you what, by the time I got to New York, I was tired, I was aggravated, and my last message was fruit of the Spirit. So I had to go over to this desk, get in this line to get a connecting flight out the next day. And people kept breaking in line. Kept breaking in line. And I got in the flesh. Now I told the guy I was with, I said, that's it. There's nobody else breaking in line. And this guy could look down on me. I mean, he was a big old guy. He came up, he broke line. And he started to break line. I went up there and I hit like that on that counter in front of that door. I said, the end of the line's back there, and if you get through here, you're going to come through me. Yeah, I just preached on fruit of spirit. You know, that guy just smiled and as meek as a lamb, he went to the back of that line and it wore me out. As a matter of fact, I have no business in the ministry. I have no business in the ministry. So I thought I had that under control. But at that weak moment, Satan attacked. Temptation. Get you thinking about it. Get you thinking about it. They broke in line. They broke in line. They broke in line. Get your mind on it. Do something about it. You're going to be here all night if you don't. There's no telling how many times I asked God to forgive me for that. Not that I had to, but it was wearing me out. My heart was tearing me up. I thought I had that under control.